हरे कृष्ण
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कोपि जन लाभ गिरिवार जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर यशोदानंद व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद नीताय गौर हरि बो हरि बो हरि बो गौर हरि बो Shri Hari Nam Sankirtana Ki Granda Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Janitai Gura Premanandi Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishchaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8. Chapter entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti. Text number 32.
Kechidahurajam jatam Punyashlokasya kirtaye Yado priyasyan vavaye Malayasyeva chandanam Kechidahura janjatam Punyashlokasya kirtaye Yado priyasyan vavaye Malayasyeva chandanam Kechidahurajam jatam Punyashlokasya kirtaye Yado priyasyan vavaye Malayasyeva chandanam Kechidahura janjatam Punya shlokasya kirtaye Yado priyasyan vavaye Malayasyeva chandanam Kechidahura janjatam Punya shlokasya kirtaye Yado priyasyan vavaye Malayasyeva chandanam
Matajis Matajis Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of the pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Purport: Because the Lord's appearance in this material world is bewildering, there are different opinions about the birth of the unborn. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He takes birth in the material world, although He is the Lord of all creation and He is unborn. So there cannot be any denial of the birth of the unborn because He Himself establishes the truth. But still there are different opinions as to why He takes His birth. That is also declared in the Bhagavad Gita. He appears by His own internal potency to re-establish the principles of religion and to protect the pious and to annihilate the impious. That is the mission of the appearance of the unborn. Still, it is said that the Lord is there to glorify the pious king Yudhishthir. Lord Shri Krishna certainly wanted to establish the kingdom of the Pandavas for the good of all in the world. When there is a pious king ruling over the world, the people are happy. When the ruler is impious, the people are unhappy. In the age of Kali, most cases the rulers are impious and therefore the citizens are also continuously unhappy. But in the case of democracy, the impious citizens themselves elect their representatives to rule over them, and therefore they cannot blame anyone for their unhappiness. Maharaj Nal was also celebrated the great pious king, but he had no connection with Lord Krishna. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthir is meant here to be glorified by Lord Krishna. The Lord had already glorified King Yadu, having taken birth in his family. Although he is known as Yadava, Yaduvira, Yadunandana, etc., he is always independent of such obligation. He is just like the sandalwood that grows in the Malaya hills. Trees can grow anywhere and everywhere, yet because the sandalwood tree grows mostly in the area of Malaya hills, the name sandalwood and the Malaya hills are interrelated. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is ever unborn like the sun, and yet He appears as sun rises on the eastern horizon. As the sun is never the sun of the eastern horizon, so the Lord is no one's son, but He is the Father of everything that be. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Zavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Upesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Na Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Kechid Ahurajam Jatam Punyashlokasya Kirtaye Yado Priyasyan Vavaye Malayasyeva Chandanam. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of the pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees. A disclaimer right in the beginning. I'm not supposed to give class today, but a devotee who was to give the classes unwell. So as a spare veil is brought here and is made to sit here on the Vyasasana. So I am not the steering wheel here today, so kindly please bear with me. And it's a last minute request, so I could not deny this request made by Rudranath Prabhu. So I'm not so prepared well, so don't know what will come out. So please seek, I seek the blessing so that your prayers will help inspire me, come up with something worthwhile. So we are at a junction where one of the most beautiful, famous, well-known prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers by Queen Kunti, are being recited and chanted here every day. So Kunti Devi is definitely, she is the aunt of Krishna. Not only that, she is not only the one who is related to Krishna, but also devoted to Krishna completely. In fact, Kunti Devi has seen Lord Krishna right when Lord Krishna was in Vrindavan. Yesterday we discussed this beautiful verse, Gopya Dade Tvai Kritaga Sidama Tavat, where Kunti Devi in nutshell is explaining the entire Damodar Leela. And our acharyas explained that when Damodar Leela took place in Vrindavan, Kunti Devi was personally present to witness the Damodar Leela. So Kunti Devi witnessed Krishna while he was a child. And now Kunti Devi, she is offering prayers to Lord Krishna when the Mahabharata war is over. So that means almost 90 years have passed. And Pavanesh Prabhu was saying that Krishna was 90 years old when this war took place. And these prayers are uttered by Kunti Devi after that. So it's been a long gap, and Kunti Devi has known Krishna so very well. In fact, Krishna has been there moment to moment with Kunti Devi and all the Pandavas. So it is most interesting to note that although Kunti Devi is very familiar with Krishna, she has not developed familiarity towards Krishna. It's because the prayers that she is offering to Lord Krishna makes it very obvious that she has not developed any familiarity towards Krishna. These prayers are not some casual words coming out, but her prayers are expression of her complete surrender, where she is fully aware and conscious of Lord Krishna's position. And she is also conscious and aware of her own position. So in one sense, at one level, although she is related to Krishna, but she knows that Krishna is not just in blood relation with her. And there are many reasons for Kunti Devi to be casual with Krishna. Many reasons she has why she could actually develop that familiarity also with Krishna. Like one reason, she could have taken Krishna also for granted. So one of the reasons is age, age factor, Krishna is very younger to Kunti Devi. And, when we have someone younger in our family, we don't take that person's opinions or we don't take that person's activities so seriously, because we think I am elder to that person. We think that person is quite immature, or probably many times even when Krishna would meet the Pandavas and Kunti Devi, Krishna would touch the feet of Kunti Devi. So from the age perspective, Krishna is younger to Kunti Devi, and Kunti Devi could have just taken Krishna so casually. Not only that, Kunti Devi could have become more familiar, or she could have developed that familiarity towards Krishna because of the blood relation. No, it's like in Hindi they say ghar ki murgi dal barabar. No, someone who is from the same family, we just really don't take that person so seriously. No, the prophets are not glorified in their own village, as the saying goes. And there are many Indians who actually tell that hum bhi to Yadav hai. Ultimately Krishna to hamare hi gaon se the. Hum bhi Krishna ko jante hai. So then it is but obvious that because she is very much closely connected to Krishna because of the family relations, she could have taken Krishna for granted. The third reason is close proximity. Many times close proximity brings familiarity. Close proximity in the sense, Pandavas were the one who actually got maximum association of Krishna. And not only that, Krishna spent much of his time, apart from being in Dwarka, he spent much of his time in Hastinapur. And it was quite some time that Krishna was staying in Hastinapur. You know, when a person stays at our home for more than a stipulated time, then we start thinking, definitely Atithi Devo Bhava. We think that yes, Atithi, who has come to our place is definitely like a demigod. But then we also start developing this question, is Atithi Devo Bhava or Atithi Bhuto Bhava? Because that bhoot doesn't leave only. Bhoot just sticks to us and doesn't move out. So then many times when we cross certain limits, then probably we also feel when this person is going to move out. And Krishna was staying in Hastinapur for quite some time. And if Pandavas and Kunti Devi would have developed that familiarity, Kunti Devi would have not been stopping Krishna. Kunti Devi would have not stopped Krishna. And here we know that Krishna is about to depart from Hastinapur towards Dwarka. And at that junction, Kunti Devi is actually stopping Krishna, wanting Krishna to stay more and more. So this is the third reason Kunti Devi could have become very, very casual towards Krishna. The fourth reason is the way Krishna presented himself. I mean, Krishna never proved or never showed or never impressed upon anyone that he is God. So Krishna is just walking like an ordinary person of this world. Gudas charati vrishnishu. Mohayan maya lokan gudas charati vrishnishu. So Krishna is also walking like an ordinary person on this earth planet. So then, naturally, it was but obvious that so many people who were there close to Krishna, they developed familiarity towards Krishna. So Kunti Devi could have also developed that familiarity towards Krishna. But here we see that she had many reasons to just take Krishna for granted. She had many reasons to be just so casual with Krishna, but she never took Krishna for granted. In fact, her prayers reveals this so very obviously. Because her prayers are prayers of intimacy, but without getting into the trap of familiarity. So we may be intimate with someone, but at the same time, there is a possibility and a probability that a person may become too much familiar with that person. And as a result, the familiarity breeds contempt. So her prayers are prayers of intimacy, but without, she is not getting into the trap of familiarity. Radhanath Maharaj beautifully summarizes. He says that familiarity leads to lack of gratitude. And here we see these prayers that Kunti Devi is offering to Lord Krishna. Every word is soaked into the waters of gratitude. And we can actually feel that when we recite these prayers. that these prayers are not just empty words coming out, but these prayers are loaded with the sweet waters of gratitude. So, anything that we get in abundance, we tend to take it for granted. This Subhashit says that Ati darpe hata lanka, Ati manesh kaurava, Ati dane bali badha, Ati sarvatra garhatam. It was because of the ati darpa, too much arrogance of Ravana, that Lanka was destroyed. It was because of the ati abhiman of Duryodhan that entire Kaurava army got destroyed. And it is explained that it was the nature of Bali Maharaj to give anything and everything in charity. As a result, he became a prisoner, or he was actually being caught. He was actually being tied. And then it says ati sarvatra garhitam. So we should try to avoid that ati, or probably too much closeness or too much extremes. I mean, anything that is in excess is always bad. There is a word called atti-ahar, or what we call as atti-ahar. If we eat something more, probably we get problem. If we sleep more, that leads to laziness. Many a times, we need waters definitely for our survival. But if there is probably excess of rains, that causes floods. Or excessive speed results in accident. So many people, they know that excessive speed will, millions of people, they prefer actually, more speed as it gives them thrills. But then they, at the same time, they fail to recognize that thrill kills. But definitely people, they just want to have more in life. The salt, if the food is without salt, still we can eat it. But if that food has an excessive salt, it just becomes unpalatable. Or probably the government also gives a lot of subsidy to combat inflation. But even that excessive subsidy for many commodities will make the economic condition of the country bankrupt. Or many times parents, they too much pamper and too much love their kids. As a result, the kids get spoiled. Even if a well-known speaker speaks too much, goes beyond time limits, people don't appreciate. So anything that's in excess, anything that's available in excess, even in market, the price goes down. If something is too much excessively available in the market, then definitely the cost reduces. But when there is scarcity, naturally the rate increases. That's why it is said, Ati paricharya avagya satata gamanat anadaro bhavati malaye bhilla purandare chandanam kuru kasanam indanam kurute. This is a beautiful explanation given. Ati paricharya avagya satata gamanat anadaro bhavati. When a very close interaction leads to disrespect many times. Just as a lady who wanted to cook needed some fuel, needed some wood. So she was staying in the middle of Malaya Hills. Now Malaya Hills, it is filled with chandan, as this verse also says today. Now Malaya Hills is filled with chandan trees, and this woman, she doesn't know that these are chandan trees, and she doesn't want to go far off to fetch fuel. So what she does is she cuts those chandan trees and turns those wooden logs into indan or into fuel, and she cooks fragrant chapatis. But can we really use chandan wood for probably no making for as a fuel. No, we don't. So, but when the wood is available in abundance, and when we don't know the value of what's there around us, so we don't know that this chandan, that this wood is chandan, and we don't even know the cost of this chandan, then probably we will also use that chandan as something ordinary wood log, and probably use it for some household purpose. So when we are not aware of the glories, and when we have someone or something around us in abundance, then it blurs our vision. Just like in a field of ophthalmology, there are two words. No, one is myopia and other is hypermetropia. So myopia means a person is able to see something close by but cannot see the far distant object. That is myopic vision. And a hypermetropia is a person who can see the far off distant objects but fail to see the nearby object. So when there is ati, when there is ati paricaya, then we become too close, and that too closeness also blurs our vision to the extent that we fail to recognize the glory and the importance and the value of that thing or of that person. So, you know, after a certain age, at the age of 40 or post 40, we develop, you know, this vision, or we develop glasses where we can't see the close by object. So we need glasses. So similarly, you know, after a certain age or after spending few years down the line, few years in Krishna consciousness, we develop that too much closeness or familiarity with the whole process, because of which probably although we are so close to Krishna, but then that blurness, you know, takes over. That's why familiarity leads to ordinariness. Even the extraordinary starts appearing to be ordinary. Familiarity leads to complacency as well. No, now that I have been practicing bhakti for so many years, we tend to become complacent because we have now, practically we know that, fine, I know everything. I don't need to know much. Or probably familiarity leads to complacency, or familiarity leads to casualness. And that's possible. And there is every possibility that because we are being surrounded by devotees all the time, or probably we take them so much for granted, we take chanting so much for granted, we take the whole process of Krishna consciousness, many times we take the deity so much for granted. So I was just thinking that when we start taking deities for granted, then the hellish mentality grows within us, where we also start thinking deities to be something ordinary, stone or a statue or an idol. When we start taking devotees for granted, then impersonalism grows, or probably offenses grows, where we start taking devotees so much for granted. When we start taking holy name for granted, then anarthas grow, where our heart, which is supposed to become soft after chanting, our heart actually starts becoming hard-hearted. When we start taking philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita for granted, deviation grows. Just as people take Krishna Leela for granted, then Sahajiyavad or Sahajiyism grows. Similarly, when we take the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam for granted, because we have heard it so many times, then probably deviation tends to take place. And when we actually take the whole process of Krishna consciousness for granted, then the desire for sense gratification grows exponentially. This is what has happened to me. That's why I'm just sharing something what I have experienced in my life. So it is said that holy wisdom makes us ponder. The holy wisdom, the holy scriptures makes us think. The holy wisdom makes us ponder. The holy deities acts as a binder. The deities actually acts as a binding force. So deities are the central focus for the community. So it binds the community. So holy wisdom makes us ponder. Holy deities acts as a binder. Holy association sends us reminder. Holy place inspires surrender and gives us a glimpse of splendor, that is splendor of the spiritual world. So holy wisdom makes us ponder. Holy deities act as a binder. Holy association gives us reminder. Holy place inspires surrender. Holy name helps us become all-rounder. Still we wonder, commit blunder, and ask this question, why surrender? That's our problem. So we have everything that is needed for us to perfect our lives. But one of the reasons that although being so close, we tend to go very far, could be familiarity. So on the contrary, when people don't have, one extreme is people have it in abundance. Another extreme is when people don't have anything. You ask a person, who doesn't have an oxygen to breathe, that person will actually tell us the value of oxygen. A person who is breathless can actually value what oxygen is, what oxygen levels are. Now, daily we breathe in, breathe out, and we know by default that my oxygen level is 100%. But then, sometimes, probably when our oxygen level goes down, then we have so many issues coming up. Or probably you ask a person who has not had one morsel of food for a few days, that person can actually tell us the value. Or you ask a person who has not had a drinking water, on a daily basis, when we drink water, probably, it's just so casual. We just drink it. But then on the day of Nirjal Ekadashi, we really value, we really realize the importance of that water. Ask a person who doesn't have an association of devotee. That person can actually value when that association is obtained. I had been to Middle East few years back, and one of the devotees was sharing this very nice story. He's from Sharjah, but for his official work, he had to go to Muscat. Now, the distance between Sharjah and Muscat is almost 5 hours by car. So he took his car and he was traveling to Muscat, and he had a meeting to attend. While he was returning back, he was listening to Govind Prabhu's class on Nectar of Devotion. And while he was listening to the class, he missed to note that he has crossed the red signal. Now, in Middle East, in those countries, if you break a law, you have to pay a heavy fine. So then he did not even realize while he was hearing and driving. And he went ahead after he crossed 5-6 kilometers through his the glass. He happened to see a police man following him and honking and telling him to stop the car. So he had to take his car by the side. And the policeman, they don't do anything. The first thing that they will do is take away your license. And they will also take away your card, your Emirates card, because you are a citizen of Emirates. So they will take away that card. So he took away the card and license, and he told him to follow him. So he took his car, following him, and finally the police took him to the police station. So they told that you have done this, you have broken this the signal, you have broken the law. So he said, what am I supposed to do now? So he said, you have to pay 500 dirhams. Now that's like 10,000 rupees. So he said, okay, I'll pay. Now what can I do? I have no other choice because he has to be back in Sharjah by evening. So when he was paying back, when he was ready to pay, he said, no, along with that, you have to have an imprisonment for 2 days. So you have to pay the fine. At the same time, you have to be imprisoned for 2 days. So then he said, I can't do that. I cannot afford. I have to go back. I have a program to attend. And he's one of the leaders of the one of the yatras there. But then they said, sorry, sir, we have no other options left for you. So then finally, no, he was taken in a prison cell. Now, prison cell is not like a typical prison cell that we have here. Prison cell is air conditioned and it's a huge, it's like a dormitory where, there are many prisoners, convicts who are there, in one prison. So then they had these compartments. They had this prison cell for Omanis, for Sudanese, for Indians. So they asked him, are you Indian? So he said, yes. So then he went. So then now he had no choice. So he entered into that room, and this room was chilling. It was like freezing cold. Although they offer every facility. They give you blanket, they give you food, everything. So then this person, this devotee, before he entered, he had a bead bag. So then the police said that you have to, keep aside this, whatever your chanting beads are. And then he told him to remove his neck beads also. So then he was feeling quite sad, remorse. What do I have? What am I going to do here for 2 days? And so he asked, can I take my Bhagavad Gita along? Says, no ways. You cannot take any spiritual text inside. So when he went inside, he was like, what do I do now? So every people, they were just sitting idly. They were just, someone was sleeping. But all of a sudden, he happened to see one fellow, one gentleman who was reading something. So when he went close by, he realized that, he is reading Srila Prabhupada's book. So he went close to this gentleman and he asked him, where did you get this book from? So then this gentleman was very reluctant because he knew that who knows who this person is. If I actually tell him, how I got this book inside, probably, he may complain. So he didn't tell, he was reluctant. But then finally, this devotee pushed him to really share. So then, this devotee said, this gentleman said that, I somehow sneaked in, this book. And I influenced the person, so I happened to, I also got convicted, and I got that book inside. And then this devotee asked this gentleman, what's your name? So he said, my name is Madhu. So then this gentleman asked this devotee, what's your name? So he said, my name is Rameshwar Kanai. So then they realized, we both are devotees. So then this gentleman whose name was Madhu, he immediately woke up one gentleman who was sleeping nearby. And he said, hey, get up, there is one more devotee who has joined us. And this devotee, Rameshwar Kanai, he was so happy. He said, in the middle of nowhere, at least I have one, two devotees. And he said, it is worth staying here in prison cell. So then for 48 hours, all these three devotees, they did not sleep. And as I said, they offered them food, but then the food was non-vegetarian. So then they said, we don't want food, just give us some water. 48 hours, they had this book, one book with them. And with that one book, they were just discussing Krishna Katha. And the people who were there around, they were surprised to note that these three gentlemen who are sitting, why are they so happy? And the police would come on and off in between to offer them food. But they were surprised that these people are not even wanting food. So there was this young boy who was there who observed these three devotees. And this young boy, it was his birthday. But because of some reason, he was also convicted. And he was feeling feeling separation from his family members. So he also joined this group. And he also, so these three gentlemen, they started sharing Krishna consciousness with this one young boy. And this young boy got so much influenced that the time came for him to move out of the jail. So when he was out, the first thing that he did, that he purchased apples and bananas, a trunk of apple and bananas, and he sent it to the prison cell and told police, my humble request is you please offer them this fruits and this apples and bananas, because they are not eating anything, but God knows what makes them fast. So this devotee was sharing that when I had so many devotees around me, I really did not appreciate. But the time came when there was no one, even one devotee made so much sense in my life. And we both share the best moments of our lives. So when both these gentlemen, of course the story ends here, but when both these gentlemen, when they came out of the prison cell, so this devotee who was, whose name was Madhu, he was actually initiated by His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. So both these disciples, both these devotees, they were initiated disciples of Jayapataka Maharaj. And they both decided that we will be the best friends henceforth. So this devotee called Madhu, this Madhu Prabhu said that you come. Today is Radhashtami and today we are going to have a big celebration in the temple. I'm sorry, today is Prabhupada's disappearance day. So today we are going to have a big celebration in our center. They don't have a temple there. So then this devotee who was from Sharjah, he also joined this devotee in one of the centers in Muscat. And that's how the friendship grew. So this devotee was actually sharing that when we have devotees around us, probably we fail to recognize their importance and value. And just like this lady, Ati paricharya avagyat satata gamanat anadaro bhavati malle bhille malaye bhilla purandare. So this is our unfortunate position that when we have abundance, then we devalue it and fail to understand its value. When there is scarcity, we realize. So when we have devotees around us, probably we don't even appreciate. We fail to appreciate. But when devotees leave, probably we regret. Or probably we actually experience the separation. And this is what even one of the intimate associate of Lord Krishna, Uddhava, is sharing. Durbhagobata lokoyam yadavo nitaramapi ye samvasanto na vidur harim mina ivodupam. When Lord Krishna departed from this planet Earth, Uddhava is experiencing deep separation from Lord Hari. And he is telling that today the entire universe has become the most unfortunate. But more than this universe, the Yadavas, most unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead. Just as a fish couldn't identify moon. So fish thinks that moon is just one of the living entity, one of them. Just because when the moon also rises from the ocean in the evening time. So great personalities, just because they are around us, just because they come down to our level, or just because they are just moving close around us, doesn't mean that they are just like us. Or doesn't mean that they are ordinary. It is their extraordinary kindness that they come to our level to pick us up from the lowest to the highest. So, they may be one amongst us, but they are one out of many. Lord Krishna was one amongst the many millions of Yadus. But Krishna was one out of those millions of Yadus. Krishna was like that one moon out of millions of stars. So we can see in life of Srila Prabhupada also, Prabhupada actually came down from the Uttamadhikari to the Madhyamadhikari level to preach. And the people, Prabhupada was staying in Bauri for quite some time, and people who were staying there, they also thought that this Swamiji is also one amongst, just like us. But then, after a few days, they realized that, he's different. Probably, just because he's staying with us doesn't mean, although he's staying in the middle of us, but he is just above us. So we don't know who is sitting here. Who's going to be who's who or who's who sitting here? Probably we may fail to recognize their presence or their value at this point of time. But then the time will reveal. That's why in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Bhishma Dev is actually instructing the Pandavas, Bhishma Dev comes up with this very beautiful verse. Eshave Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayano Puman Mohayan Mayaya Lokan Gudas Charati Vrishnishu. So the war is over, but just before the war, the Rajasuya sacrifice was completed. So during the Rajasuya sacrifice, Lord Krishna took a very, very menial position. So here Bhishma Dev is reminding Yudhishthir Maharaj that he's pointing towards Lord Krishna and he's telling Eshave Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayana. Now Narayan is to be worshipped always with awe and reverence. And Adyo Narayana Puman. Puman means one who is the ultimate enjoyer. So all the yagyas, all the yagyic sacrifices has to be offered to that supreme enjoyer. And he is to be worshipped with lot of awe and reverence. So Bhishma Dev is actually reminding Yudhishthir Maharaj that the person with whom you are walking all the time, that person is actually to be, not to be taken for granted, not to be taken casually, but should be revered and should be worshipped with lot of awe and reverence. So, His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was actually sharing this verse, and he was telling that this verse is very, very relevant for a sadhaka as well. That we should always remember this word, Eshave Bhagavan Sakshat. When we are chanting the holy names, because we are chanting regularly, frequently, daily, we actually fail to realize the sublimity and the extraordinariness of this holy name. But when we remind ourselves that this holy name is Eshave Bhagavan Sakshat, this holy name is actually non-different, Sakshat Hari, Sakshat Bhagavan, then we will not develop that familiarity towards the holy name. Or when we are looking at the deities and when we are praying, the same, we can come up with this verse, Eshave Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayano Puman. This is a beautiful, beautiful quote, Radhanath Maharaj, when he gave a New Year's talk last year. Rasikraman Prabhu recently played that during our Japa Sadhana festival. So I'm just paraphrasing what Maharaj said. Maharaj said, if we are conscious of the sacredness of the gifts of Krishna consciousness that we have received, then we will not allow the familiarity to blind our vision. I repeat, if we are conscious of the sacredness of the gifts of Krishna consciousness that we have received, then we will not allow the familiarity to blind our vision. The third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, explains the interaction between Devahuti and Kardammuni. Devahuti is serving Kardammuni with great awe and reverence and respect. And there, this verse comes that Devahuti was serving her husband with lot of respect as well as intimacy. Vishrambe atma saucena gaurena damena cha sushrushaya saurudena vacha madureya chabho. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport that these words, Vishrambena and Gauravena, are very, very important. Vishrambena means with lot of respect, and Vishrambena means with intimacy, and Gauravena means with utmost reverence and respect. So Prabhupada mentions that intimacy and respect when clubbed together is actually the secret for sustainable relationship. But when there is intimacy but disrespect, then that leads to familiarity, and that is the recipe for disaster in relationships. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, as a matter of respect, according to Vedic civilization, a wife would not even call her husband with name, because that's the etiquette, that's, you know, offering a respect. In the present civilization, the wife calls her husband by name. But in Hindu civilization, Prabhupada mentions, she does not. You know, a wife asked her, so there was a couple, you know, who had a wedding, who were actually having a wedding anniversary. So husband did not remember that today is their wedding anniversary. So wife wanted husband to really, you know, wish her, but wife realized that husband doesn't even remember. So wife, she approached husband and she said, do you see our neighbors? Today is their wedding anniversary and just see how happy they are. So husband replied, it's so simple, my dear. Today is their first and ours is 21st. No. So when we spend number of years probably together, then, you know, that intimacy, you know, intimacy is there, but probably disrespect creeps in. So one time Radhanath Maharaj was sharing that how a newly wedded couple, when they're about to enter, or probably when they have just entered into, you know, a married life, you know, everything is just so romantic. You know, they share that how, you know, you are heaven for me, you are everything for me, your eyes are like the pools of nectar and I want to dive deep into that nectar, and we cannot live without each other. But as the time passes, probably they start getting on each other's nerves, they start finding all sorts of faults, and no, they start thinking that this person has disappointed me, so on and so forth. And this person starts feeling that, this person's eyes are like the pools of poison now. So Maharaj was sharing that when we minutely start observing faults, because familiarity sets in. So when we come close, then we also starts looking at the faults. So when we start looking at the faults, we start finding fault. Before finding a fault in a spouse, we should find first within us. So find three faults within us, just as the three fingers are pointing towards us when we are pointing one finger towards someone else. So an ordinary man can find faults with others even if no fault exists. But it takes a great man to see good in others, even if there is only a bit out of it. In the sixth canto, this episode comes when the guru of the demigods, Brihaspati, he enters into the kingdom of Indra, and there is so much entertainment happening, and the demigods along with the head, the Indra, they fail to offer respect. And Brihaspati, he just leaves that place. And when he leaves that place, the Brahmaji heavily chastises the demigods headed by Indra and tells them that an acharya should never be considered an ordinary person. So there in the purport, Prabhupada writes that one should never think acharya to be an ordinary person, because familiarity may sometimes breed contempt, and one should be careful in dealings with acharya. And at that point of time, Prabhupada actually, had written a letter to one of his disciples whose name was Madhusudan Prabhu. And Prabhupada also writes in that letter that sometimes it is better to serve the deities and the spiritual master with the feeling of separation. And then Prabhupada shares that there was one disciple of mine who was actually serving me so closely, massaging me, cooking for me, and doing so many services. But that disciple actually started taking me for granted. He started taking me for an ordinary person. And as a result, in due course of time, by the dictation of Maya, he became so puffed up that he probably moved away. And Prabhupada says, but a sincere disciple, takes a direct service as an opportunity. But the illusory energy is so strong that it acts on the doctrine of familiarity breeds contempt. So this is what even Prabhupada is actually cautioning us. Familiarity in relationships, familiarity especially with Guru, familiarity may develop with the deities. So Prabhupada in the Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, he quotes the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always take the darshan of Lord Jagannath from a very far off distance. He would stand behind the Garuda Stambha but never go close to Lord Jagannath. Only on one occasion, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling so much separation, that he went so close. And that is called as Maryada Langan, crossing the limits. But then it was out of his love for Lord Krishna, Lord Jagannath, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went close. So Prabhupada writes there that sometimes coming too near to the deities or the spiritual master degrades the neophyte devotee. Of course, the point is not that we don't serve the deities or serve the spiritual master when we get an opportunity to serve them personally. The point is, familiarity breeds contempt when we breed inattention. So it's the inattention that will eventually lead to problem. And then Prabhupada also speaks about how one should not take Krishna consciousness for granted. And there's a beautiful pastime. We won't go into the details. But coming to today's words, just I'll speak few words on that. Kechid ahu rajam jatam punya shlokasya kirtaye. Lord Krishna appears in this world to glorify his devotee. So to increase the fame and glory of devotees, Krishna appear. It's not that devotee increases the fame and glory of Krishna. But here it is mentioned that Krishna appears to increase the influence and the glories of devotees. It was Lord Ram who increased the glory of Hanumanji. Lord Ram had to build the bridge. Hanumanji could actually fly and reach Lanka. So actually Lord Ram is glorifying Hanumanji. In Vrindavan, Krishna was loved by many. But Krishna was also hated by many. There were many demons who appeared in Vrindavan. So Krishna had someone who loved him. Krishna also had someone who probably hated him. But when it comes to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Dheera, Dheera Jana, Priya, Priya Karo, Nirmatsaro, Pujito, they were loved even by the gentles and the ruffians. So who is greater? No? So devotees like six Goswamis, actually Krishna wanted to glorify them more. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that holy name should be spread all across. But then whom he gave credit to? Srila Prabhupada. Not only that, Lord Krishna orchestrated the whole war of Kurukshetra, but Krishna continued to remain the chariot driver. He was the man of the series. But then he gave all the credit to Arjuna. Similarly, here this verse also explains that Nala, King Nala, was also a great, pious king. But Krishna did not really glorify him. Prabhupada says, Yudhishthir Maharaj was connected to Krishna. So someone who may be glorious but not connected to Krishna, probably that person may not become so glorious in the eyes of Krishna. But Krishna, he glorifies anyone who is in connection to him. And Yado Priyasya Anvavaye Malayasyeva Chandanam, Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. So Yadu dynasty is famous not because of King Yadu. Yadu dynasty is famous because Lord Krishna appeared in Yadu dynasty. Gujarat and Gujaratis, they are well known. But Gujarat and Gujaratis became more well known because Modi is from Gujarat. No? A simple example to make things clear. So it's not to the credit of Malaya Hills. The credit is to the Chandan that grows in the Malaya Hills. That's the reason the Malaya Hills get some standing or Malaya Hills becomes famous. Similarly, any instrument, whether it's a knife for a surgeon or a flute for a flutist or a guitar for a guitarist, or probably a veena for a veena player. Glory to all these instruments come their way only when the master of that instruments really handles and plays those instruments very well. So, it's the expert master who actually brings good name to the instruments. It's Krishna who brought glory to Yadukul. It's Krishna who brought glory to the Pandavas. It's Chandan which brings glory to the Malaya Hills. It's the spiritual master who brings glory to the life of disciples. It is Srila Prabhupada who brought glory to this land of Bharatvarsh. And Prabhupada brought glory to all the Indians in general and his disciples in particular. I would like to end this entire theme with this one very beautiful pastime. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was on a very long tour. He went from Bombay, he had to go to Dubai, from Dubai he had to go to Italy, and from Italy he had to go to London. He had a long tour. When he reached London airport, he was greeted by the temple president, by the devotees there, like His Grace Pranabandhu Prabhu, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, and even Gaur Gopal Prabhu happened to be there. So when they received Maharaj at the airport, Maharaj was, while they were going back, while they were on their way, Maharaj was sharing his preaching experiences, his excursions while he was in Italy. He was sharing that how, in Bolivia, there were this group of fresh 150 Italians who came. One lady who actually, who was from the yoga group became devotee, and she arranged this program. And, Maharaj was actually sharing his joy. And like that, he was sharing many things. Finally, Maharaj spoke that how now that they are in London, very soon he's going to meet very big dignitaries in London. So then Pranabandhu Prabhu, he said, Maharaj, you are amazing. And then he said that you are simply amazing. By far, you are the one who has touched so many people's lives, and that too people of such caliber. And Maharaj replied, Maharaj said, You may be thinking that I am simply amazing, but I am simply a leaf floating in the air. So then Pranabandhu Prabhu said, Maharaj, then you are an amazing leaf. If you think that you are simply a leaf floating in the air, Maharaj said, if you think that I am an amazing leaf, actually leaf is not amazing. The wind that carries the leaf, that is far more amazing. So it is Srila Prabhupada who is amazing, and because of his grace, it's a great fortune and a pleasure to serve and preach all across the globe. So this is the mood of the leader of our community, where he offers all the glory to his spiritual master. So how can we even think of taking any credit for whatever little bit insignificant service that we do? I'm sorry to really go overboard. Thank you all very much for kind patience. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.